closing book ever, he said that he had 11 children before the war. They were all murdered. Yes. He said that the oldest one was an incredible person. Second one also, third one a bit less, he said, but the most junior of his 11 children before the war, he said, was far, far greater than the most senior of his children born after the war. So this, something happened. Just something. He had children after all. The current Rebbe was born after all. He said, the Klosenburg Rebbe, you've got to read about his life. You've got to read about it. Sons, that's it, yeah. So he said, the most junior, the youngest one, the most, Balabatish of all his children before the war, he said, it was greater than all. I want to share with you a machshava. I may have mentioned it last year, but I want to just, this is my Lag BaOmer, gentlemen. What Lag BaOmer means to me, it's a bit what you're mentioning now, actually. Lag BaOmer means to me, people like Rabbi Yosef Boyer, like the Satna Rebbe, it means to me the Klosenburg Rebbe, it means to me people like that. Why? Because we find that Rebbe Kiva's 24,000 Talmidim died Rebbe Kiva's 24,000 Talmidim died in this terrible tkufa of the 33 days. By the way, it doesn't say anywhere it was in one year. It could be these 33 days may have been spread over a few years. But either way, he had this terrible tragedy that 24,000 Talmidim of his died. And imagine, this is his life's objective, his life's achievement. Rebbe Kiva, imagine what it's like. He built yeshivas, he built Talmidim, he established Talmidim of Talmidim for years and years. And remember, Rebbe Kiva came from, he built this empire of Torah, and everything wiped out, nothing left. And what would normally happen to an individual that undergoes such tragedy? What would normally happen? Give up. Depression, deep mental crisis, clinical depression, you name it. It's a tragedy that we cannot even imagine what it was like. And yet, what does Rebbe Kiva do? And we totally would have respected and understood. If a person undergoes such a crisis, we would have totally understood that. Nebuchadnezzar, look what he lost. Yet, what do we find with Rebbe Kiva? What happens? He gets up again, and he takes 5 Talmidim. Not 24,000, not 2,500, not 250, 5. 5 Talmidim. And he starts from scratch. At this senior age, tail end of his career, starts from everything. And here comes the point. And what happens? Torah that we have, the old Torah Shebal Peh that we have nowadays, everything we have, Shas, Mishnayos, Gemara, everything we have comes from those 5 Talmidim. It comes from those 5 Talmidim. So what? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what he teaches us. It's unbelievable. You know, this scary. And that's why I think on Lag BaOmer, of course, about Shem Barichai, of course, Rebbe Kiva, of course, but in more recent history of Klal Yisrael, I think, or for instance, the Chazon Ish, who I think about the Klosenburg Rebbe, that they, you know, that's it. Rebbe Yosef Boyer, a good example. He was a rov in Germany, and he had his kele, he had his background, he had his communities, his family, everything. He moves to America when he's 56 years old, and he starts a kele there. When people normally end up more like retiring kind of age, no, he starts a kele. And Washington Heights, one of the very, okay, now it's gone down a bit, but I'm saying it was for many years a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful kele, beautiful kele. Or think of the Satmar Rebbe, before everything was wiped out, nothing. And he starts after the war, new kingdom, huge, huge, huge empire, Klosenburg Rebbe. People that start from scratch after the war, after having lost so, so much.
The Bezer Rebbe also. But I think all the children, only one left.
Only one.
Only one, all this.
The Bezer Rebbe was a nephew of the previous Rebbe. The current Bezer Rebbe is a nephew of the previous Rebbe.
The
Rebbe didn't have no children. Aaron children, right? Correct. Robert Feingold is going to update us. Yeah. Yeah, there was no children to the previous Belzer. Rebbe was the only nephew.
But the Holocaust, they died in the Holocaust?
Yeah, so the previous Aaron Belzer didn't have any children. He never had children in the first place. He had? Ten were killed. Yeah, as you're saying. Yeah. Absolutely. That's it. So, but what he takes, what he gives us, Aboisai, is that when we have a tough day, or a tough incident, a tough episode, a tough month, a tough thing, it's about getting this koyach, and okay, you know, look, Rabbi Akiva lost everything and he managed to build himself up. Yeah. Every situation. Yeah, absolutely, of course. But that's what we've got to learn from it. That's what we've got to learn from this. To take this koyach ha'ischachas. Okay, so, I'm sure you had a great day. But if cholila you want, it happens. That. Okay, Rabbi, today we're going to be learning a little bit about the halachas of. So we've spoken about fasting. We've spoken about Shilah Shalom. We spoke about. Okay, and now we're going to speak about Sifchov Beis, page 64 in our Dishra editions in Siman Tov Kuf Nun Dalet. Mokim Shenagulas is Melocha. Chav Aleph. Not much to say, but still, Chav Aleph teaches us. Yesh Mishayim. Some say. Do not go and go around, walking around, go for a walk in the market. If you go walking around, but promenada. So that's no good. Don't do that. Tishbav is not a great day. Do that on the next day. Do the next week in the holidays, fine.
Don't you then you didn't take them to the park?
No, looks like you can't. Look, yesh mishem shelo yelech veital bashuk. Probably parks little children. So yeah, they've got. So I think that generally, I think what people used to say is that before chatzos, keep them at home. After chatzos, if they really need to get out, then yes, I suppose a bit of a playground or so is fine. There's a ketanot and everything, but I think before chatzos, one should even refrain from that if possible. Some children can't do it; they can't pull through chatzos. But it depends on the age and on the style and on the thing. Yeah. Okay. Sivchov Beis. Mokim Shenoagulas is Melocha. Rabbi Sai, I have a problem with this halacha. I have a problem. Let's go through it and then I'm going to ask you my question. Mokim Shenoagulas is Melocha Betisha Bavois. In a place that the custom is to do Melochois. How are we going to translate Melochas now?
Chores.
Work. Places that you do Melochas on Tisha B'Av, Oisin. You know how to do melach. So if you do, if you got to do hard work on chalamayit, all right. Excuse me. Did I say chalamayit? I didn't mean chalamayit. I meant, of course, tishbav. So places that the minig is to do hard work on tishbav, oisin, you may do hard work on tishbav. But if you live in a place that the custom is, you don't do any hard work on tishbav, ain't oisin, you may not do. So in Rome. As the Romans do, as the custom of the place. Umekol mokim. However, Talmidei Chachamim, Betelim. Talmidei Chachamim should refrain from doing any work on Tisha B'Av. Talmidei Chachamim try to avoid work. It's not the right thing to do. Just try to avoid work, and if you're Talmid Chacham, don't really work. Whoever wishes, if you want to define yourself and consider yourself, make yourself like a Talmid Chacham, for this matter, you'll have to. If you want to, you know, normally I'm not such a great Talmid Chacham, but for this matter, you'll have to make yourself a Talmid Chacham. Even in the places that you people don't do melachas on Tisha B'Av, Muta alidei en Yehudi, you're allowed to ask a goy to do the melacha for you. So, if you've got to have some, what's a good example? Some schlepping needs to be done, some removing, some doing, some gardening, some work needs to be done, and you draw, so you don't want to do it, you want to make yourself Talmid Chacham, you're allowed, I prefer not to do it, but to ask a goy to do it, I'll give you £10, sort it out, that you're allowed to do. Even if the place is a stringent place. Muta aledein yudia filu bevei, so even he says, v'prakmati liaviach v'leistake, business, Rabbi Yisai, you're allowed to go business, work, business, which, so what's the halach of doing business, going to work on Tisha B'Av? To buy and sell merchandise, to work. If the place is a place that is stringent, don't do it. But if a place is lenient, then mutala, then you're allowed to. But try to do as little as possible. Yes, it does make a difference. Yeah. Absolutely. Remember, we spoke previously, a long time ago, a few weeks ago, we learned that in truth, in reality, the whole 9 days, you should try to refrain from doing melacha, mishenichnas of mematin besimcha, and in line with that, whether actual work is simcha or not. Even if it's not, but yet you should try to decrease as much work as possible because we want to think about Avelus, morning, Beis HaMikdash. We don't want to be too engaged in our business. I will continue with the Ramah. That's your point. Even if you are stringent, not to do melachas, that's only until midday. After midday, it's for sure okay. So everything we discuss now, places which are stringent, places which are more lenient, that's until Chatzos. After midday, you can do any work you want. Yeah, night of Tisha B'Av as well, absolutely. And people tend to be stringent with any work. Which takes a bit of time to do. Work which takes time. Even if it's easy work. But things which are very quick, swift, easy, not time-consuming, kugoyin, such as hadlokas neiras, switching on the light, switching off the light. Strictly speaking, it's a melacha. Remember, on Shabbos, it's a melacha. It's not a problem at all, it's fine. Oikshira, tying, v'chadoyme, muteres. What about milking your cows in your back garden? Allowed to milk your cows? If you've got cows? What about your cows? Lachloy v'apolois, to milk your cows, ask your goy to do that. Please, do you mind? Just milk them quickly. If it's possible, if you have a goy, ask him. Otherwise, you can do it yourself. Okay, now, quite a lot of halachas over here, because this is really the discussion of work on Chol HaMoed. So what do you ask? Thank you. It's good to know people are listening. Yeah. Okay, so what about, do you know why I'm confusing Chol HaMoed? Because
it's in the next Eve.
Because next Eve, yeah, because this halach is identical to Chol HaMoed, really. It's the same. Chol HaMoed and Tisha B'Av is the same about not working. It's the same halach. Okay, so now, why is it that work is, why are you not allowed to work on Tisha B'Av? Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah, as we're saying, Sifkot Mem Gimel, look at the words, Kidei Shelo Yasiach Daito Me'Avelus, that your mind should not drift away from the morning. Umitam Zeh, because of this, Gam B'Layla Osav Melach, also Banat, one should not work. To Gam B'Layla Mechuyiv Leis Avel Banat, also one should mourn. Okay, now, I want to just think about this for a minute, because I'll tell you what I'm struggling with. If you'd ask me, if you want to ask me, what is the most important, the strongest, the most, if you're telling me you're not allowed to be Mesiach Das from Avelos, if you're telling me you're not allowed to forget about mourning on Tisha B'Av, I'll tell you this is number one. Come on, if you go to work, yeah, as soon as you're in work, you switch off. You're engaged. You're focusing. Whoever's a professional, you want to get your work right. You're going to forget like this about the morning. So much so that the best thing to do if you're not fasting well, what's the best thing to do if you're not fasting well? You go to work, right? Why? Because you're not going to think about the fast. That's the metzias. That's the reality. Whatever your profession is, the greatest, how should we call it? Distraction is to go to work. So if you'd ask me, okay, we're doing Hilchis Tisha B'Av. You ask me, what's the main and the most important halacha? Number one, I would say, don't go to work. Come on, this is Tisha B'Av. You got to mourn over here. Don't be Messiah Taso Avelos. And yet, the reality is not like that. The reality we find, if the minig is to go to work, go to work. If the minig is not to go to work, don't go to work. What? Why should it be depending on the place? It's like, if it's a good minig, it's a good minig. Of course, it's a very good minig. But if there's no minig, then just... I would say this shouldn't be based on a minig. I would say this should be ko halacha. This is the basics of Tisha B'Av. But sorry, Ian, I don't know the answer to that. It's really bothering me. Always bothered me. So you're saying that working is going to work?
Because according to what the Rav said, that the going to doing something helps you with the fast.
Yeah.
And obviously, fasting is one of the main.
Yeah, sure. So you're saying that
it will help you to fast on Tisha B'Av
if you go to work. Yeah. Okay. Okay, you're saying that actually the reason why it's just a minig is because we want to help people to fast. Okay, I'm just adding this because it's my personal experience that generally, if you're not fasting well, the best thing to do is to go to work. I fast much better when it's work days than, I don't know about you. I don't know, it's good, you fast well generally? It's better, if you go to work, you're fasting better, sure, right? So, I don't know the answer to that. Why is it just a minic?
It could be that back in the day when things were more rigid and it was harder to get time off. If you leave a job, you lose the job and all that sort of stuff. A rabbinical thing, which is Tisha B'Av, is not as the way you do it to an employer as Shabbos, right?
Right.
So it's harder to justify it.
I hear.
It's more of a danger, you're going to lose your job.
You're saying that you don't have to, you're saying it comes from the perspective that it's a darbonon. We're concerned. I see, that's a good point. We're concerned about panos, we're concerned about you losing your job. So therefore, Chachamim didn't go that
way. I've had Yiddish clients who said, why can't you talk to me? It's Purim. Purim's darbonon. And it's not Shabbos. Why can't you talk to me? What do you mean you're going to listen to her? I've had that from secular Jewish clients.
Really?
Yeah. They get more pushback on something like that.
Right.
Could be.
Yeah, so the truth is, you are quite right, because if Chav Gimel is going to tell us, so you're right in pointing this out, Chav Gimel is going to tell us, Humeleches Dova Oved Muta. If you're losing a lot of money, then it's anyway permitted to go to work. So say you get a good job that gives you, good money, it's the deal of the month, and it's going to be punked, scheduled for Tisha B'Av, you can do it.
It's going through what's absolutely
awesome.
So Chachamim
are
saying that Chitza,
I'm asking why did Chachamim not institute an Issa on this, which is so crucial to the whole Avodas Hayoyim. You see that from a halachic perspective, you've got the inuim, which is really.
Right.
And this is just the spirit of the day, and that's only.
Work isn't pleasurable, necessarily pleasurable, or
right.
It doesn't give you the comfort and happiness of washing and wearing
fresh clothing. Okay.
Work's not inherently a devar shel simcha, is it? It's a devar shus, really, isn't it?
It is. An ovel may not work. I don't think it's also. I don't know. That's probably on that. Rabbi Sai, one more point, which I think is really interesting. We said that, what about Tamid Chochem? So we said, whether you're in place that the custom is to work, custom is not to work. At Tamid Chochem, what do we say? Right. And then we said that whatever you are, you can make yourself a Tamid Chochem. Why not? Of course. Why is that?
You are more than you work for someone. The guy says, I want to see you work.
Oh, good. Interesting. So the Mishnah Berurah says of me something different, but it's true what you're saying. From Chashmish perspective, certainly true what you're saying. Mishnah Berurah says, explains as follows. You know, normally you're not allowed to appear like a Talmud Chacham. Who are you to make yourself a Talmud Chacham? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are, Talmud Chacham? Who do you think you are? But over here, you're allowed to. Why? Because at the end of the day, it will appear as if there's no work today. You know, it doesn't look blatantly that you'll make yourself a Talmud Chacham. It just looks it. No work came up today. No work came up today. But what I'm pointing out is an important yesoid, that you need a heter to make yourself a Talmud Chacham. You can't just take a stringent system as a, you can't just make yourself into a form. You can't take chumos like that. You can't just appear like a form person, like a Talmud Chacham. You can't just take stringencies. Over here, you're allowed to. You read as a heter, because, you know, if they, you may look like this, it's a passive thing, there's no work. But as a principle, there's a, you're not allowed to make yourself into a Talmud Chacham, because, you know, who do you think you are? It's very interesting. Don't take stringencies if it appears like you're putting a shoe size, which is a bit big, too big for you. I want to just finish this off. Seif Chav Hei, we'll finish off with that. Kol Ha'oichal V'shoise B'tisha B'av, whoever, oh no, sorry, Chav Dalet. Kol Ha'oise Melocha B'tisha B'av, whoever does work on Tisha B'av, Eino Yerei Siman Brach, will not see blessing from his work. Even if it's permitted. Even if it's permitted, you're not going to see blessing from, you're not going to see bracha from this work. It's not going to end up ma'osim melach from this work. It's just
depends what you do.
Pardon?
It depends what work you do.
Why is that?
If you do something for community, like you would maybe a teacher, you have salah. If it's needed for the community.
Okay, so similar to that, the Mishnah says, "Dafkik shevir atzma lemelocha umisiach ta'atim avelus." If you do the work and you're like switched off completely, you don't care anymore about Tisha B'Av and avelus in the morning, that's when you don't see Siman Bracha. If you go to work and your mind is still morning, in the morning mode, then it's okay. So Mishnah says, when do we say, "Eino yroyes Siman Bracha"? You're not going to see blessing from this. That's only for switching off morning. But if you're still concentrating on the avelus, then it's okay. And finally, whoever eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av will not see eventually the simcha of Yerushalayim. Whoever mourns on Tisha B'Av will ultimately see the simcha, the great joy of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Whoever eats meat or drinks wine in the Suda HaMafsekes, all of us of Oim on him, the Pasuk is said, he's not going to, you know, as Mishnah says, Kedayu Beis Elokeinu Litztayel Al Chobonei Al Kolponei Be'Mechadosh. It's one day a year that we've got to kind of refrain ourselves. One day a year. Come on, you'll be alright. Sit on the floor, don't eat, don't drink. Just put it through. Just one day a year. It's not. We're not demanding that much. You know, if it's a whole year, it's one thing. But one day a year, so try to sort yourself out. You'll be alright.
The second time I've come to mention meat and drink on too much second, isn't it?
Yeah. Rabbi Isai, to summarize what we learned this evening, we learned that we do not go for a walk on Tisha B'Av. It brings to lightheadedness. We said, with regards to work and Beis HaChol HaMoed, if the place is a place that works, you're allowed to work. If it's a place that doesn't work, don't work. You're allowed to be stringent either way. In terms of financial loss, if it's a financial loss, you're allowed to do it. We also learned, after Chatzos is anyway fine. We learned by night is a problem. Ask a goy is mutter. We also learned that if it's davar avod financial loss, it's fine. We also learned that, generally speaking, if you do a melacha, you're not going to see bracha from it, if you switch off completely from the avelos. And we learned that whoever is mourning properly and thoroughly, he was going to see Be'ezer Hashem, the nechama of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Meir be'ameinu. Amen.